Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Children are to be a help in the home, not a burden, because they add to the mess and the chaos of a home, but are of no value other than that, except for a little doll for us to have and hug and hold. I love my children. What do? Nothing. I just love them. And then when they become teenagers, that child, by the time they're teenagers, I can't wait till they're out of the house. I hate them. And because they've not been disciplined, they're not helpful. They're not able to do anything. And then there's this clash.
Children in our culture are being raised up with a dangerous sense of entitlement. In an effort to be loving parents, many moms and dads have left behind discipline and expectations. And the end results are unhealthy, unproductive leeches on society. As Pastor Troy challenges us in today's message, we need to run our homes in a way that shapes hardworking, caring young people. If we truly love our children, we will teach them the value of hard work and discipline. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Last week, we talked about wives and the relationship, or the role of the husband and the wife in the home, and how that brings unity in the home, how God designed it, and why. We went all the way back to the beginning. And from the union of a husband and a wife, obviously, children result in most cases. And so we want to talk about that this week. In chapter 5, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God, we jumped from that and we began to talk about how each of these individuals, or how each of these who are in these roles, would serve, fulfill their role of service in that considering one another and serving one another. Wives submitting to their husbands to the Lord, because He is the one that God goes to direct and to hold accountable. And like a CEO of a company, God comes down on him. And if it fails, it's on him, just like it was on Adam, even though it was Eve who took the fruit. And so with that responsibility and accountability comes an authority. You need to be able to take in and direct the home. The wife was learning what it means to trust in the Lord and to not be submitted to like some tame lion from a lion trainer cowering in the corner, but submitting meaning, you know what, here's what I would do if I were on my own, if I were a rebellious person and wanted to do my own thing, this is what I would do, but I'm going to submit that in favor of what it appears that God is doing in us as a family. So I'm going to submit all of that and support, help, be a help for what God is doing for our family. And children, submit to the Lord by honoring your parents. Chapter or verse 1 says this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So the first thing we'll talk about is the role of children. Last week, the role of a husband, the role of a wife. Now the role of children. And the first thing we'll consider is children are to help in the home. Children should help in the home. Scripture says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And in the West, especially, we would read a verse like that and go, I don't think so. Who's full of them? I don't think so. I don't want many of them. In fact, we try to limit them so that we don't have to deal with so many of them. Because we want to do our own thing. We want to be about our own business. And we don't want a whole bunch of them to distract us and to keep us from doing what we want to do. And also, they're messy. You know, they're messy and they just a lot of responsibility. I don't have that kind of time to pour into them. They can't do anything for themselves. And so we limit them. We really have a mindset today that is all about us doing what we want to do, and then if you want children later on. But what we don't realize is children are our ministry. They are part of what God uses in our life to shape us, to teach us certain things, to help us grow and to understand certain responsibilities. They keep us from being selfish and self-centered. They're actually good for us. I hate it. And Scripture says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, not because of the many lessons you'll learn, but because they're able to help in the home. Now, let's go back to the first century context here, and even before that into the Old Testament, when to get water for a home to live and thrive and do things, you had to go out and get it, and you had to plant and reap, and you had to do a lot of work. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you had some extra hands, extra help? So get some water, plant some seeds, do some different things that can be done. Well, that's why a man whose quiver is full of them is blessed, because he can get so much more done. He can do so much. But they were kids just like ours. They had to be taught these things. There had to be discipline instilled in them from an early age. They don't just come out of the womb thinking about you, considering what's best for you and best for the family. They come out thinking about me. What do I need? What do I want? And as long as somebody will cater to me, I will take it. And little kids left to themselves grow up to be adults who are just like that. And they're the ones who grow up and, I don't want children. I don't want this. I don't want that. Because everything had been so much revolved around them, or they want so much for everything to revolve around them, that they don't want everything to revolve around someone else. And that's a sad state for us to be in as a society, that we see kids that way. Because the Scripture didn't say, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them in the Old Testament, but that they are a blessing, a heritage from the Lord. Now, why should they help? Because I have heard some say, kids are kids, man, let them be kids. They don't have to work, they don't have to help, they don't have to do things. That's the worst thing you can do for a child, is not teach them the responsibilities of life so that it becomes a part of their life, not some chore they pick up at 18 or when they get married. How do I do this? I don't know. I don't like doing this. I don't want to do this. It's the worst disadvantage you can give anyone. It's to not prepare them for what God has told them is what they should be prepared for, what they should do. And so they're to contribute. Why? Because they contribute with the messes in the home, don't they? So they should be part of understanding there's a responsibility that goes along with making a mess, and that is cleaning up the mess, you know, helping with that. If you take something out, put it back. You got two arms, right? So you're only going to grab so much. So unless you go back and keep bringing stuff out, you're not going to have a big mess. You put stuff back. And if everybody puts stuff back, instead of moving on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and then it's all out, then guess what? No mess. Everyone's responsible for themselves. I remember with my kids early on, now trust me, they don't have this down. But when they were early on, I thought, okay, I'm going to teach them to do dishes, but I don't want all our dishes broken. And I want them clean too. I don't want to eat out of something they washed, so I'm washing my own dishes and stuff. But I got them their own dish, their own plate, cup, fork and spoon, you know, everything matched. Because here's one thing I would find, is they would leave out a dish, they wouldn't wash a dish or something, or would sit in the sink, and I'd say, whose is this? I have three kids now. And every one of them said, not mine. Not. I never got whose it was, but it was just, not mine, not mine, not mine. I had to go to Ophelia, my wife. Is that your dish? not mine. You know, I only have one wife, so I got nowhere else to go. So I thought, okay, here's what I'll do. I'm going to get them. No, I didn't buy her own dishes. You know, but I did get the kids their own dishes. And so now they don't. Now they've grown up a little bit and they don't have their own dishes, you know, their own little princess dish or whatever it might be. But then I could tell exactly whose dish it was and whose fork it was and whose cup was out and who had used it. So instead of going, whose is this and getting not mine, you could say, Rachel, how come your fork is still on the table? You washed your plate, but your fork is over here. And so I could call her out and help her. It's not like I'm cracking the whip. I am helping her take her full responsibility. You make a mess, we need to participate in helping clean up. See, if they never learn that, they're a burden. They are a burden. Because my house is just a mess, and I don't need that. Because I'm trying to clean, and they're just messing up. Think about things like dirty clothes. They dirty clothes too. They can be part of the solution as well as the dirtying of the clothes. They dirty dishes. They generate trash, sometimes more trash. And they want to eat. So, at least that's what I've been told. So think about this. Here I am. Now I wash the dishes. I still wash the dishes because I like to make sure they're clean. It's not because I'm a godly man, but I like to make sure. When I'm eating out of a dish, it's clean, especially forks. You know, they get stuff in between. That's a whole... So I want to make sure everything's clean. Clean dishes at our house. So anyway, I could be here washing the dishes after we eat, and each person washes their own plates and stuff, the stuff that they're responsible for. There's stuff on the stove that can be brought over to the counter. There's the table that needs to be wiped. There's the floor that needs to be swept up, everything that the dog doesn't pick up. And it needs to be swept. And so we're in the kitchen, right? After a meal, the kitchen has been the area of contamination. Now you've dirtied it, right? And so I can take it all upon myself and let my kids go and do their thing while I'm cleaning and doing and moving and sweeping. And I noticed one day that this is what I used to do. So I would say 10 minutes on dishes, let's just say. 5 minutes wiping the table. I'm just giving round numbers here. 5 minutes sweeping the floor. Oh, well, before the dishes, I got to collect some stuff. So 5 minutes over here on the stove and stuff like that. So now if you add it all up, let's just say we got about 25, 30 minutes of work to do.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message. So be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message.
Now, in that 30 minutes of work, what I realized was my kids were making more work in their room and other places. And I thought, this is not good. I'm spending 30 minutes of my life. Now I got to go over there and we got more. So I thought, here's what we'll do. I got extra hands. So if this takes 10 minutes... and it takes 5 minutes to do the table, maybe 5 minutes here. And I got one person on the table and one person there. We can accomplish all of that in the same 10 minutes. The same 10 minutes. More hands. Quiver full. Good thing. And so I realized this is what ought to happen. We should be working together. Getting life done. Getting things done on the spot. Not a week later. Hey, have you ever washed dishes a week later? We have not done it in our home, but I actually was at a Mormon family's home one time, and I think those dishes were at least a week old. They were piled up. They asked me if I wanted to go to church with them that day, and I said, no, that's okay. I'll stay here and I'll you know, pray and just kind of hang around for a little bit. I was curious to go to a Mormon church, but I just didn't feel compelled. I went into the kitchen area, and I saw a mountain of dishes. And I thought, wow. And I just felt like the Lord put it on my heart to do that, to serve them in that way. And so I had never, ever tackled dishes like that. Now, if that's what you consider dishes, no wonder you don't like doing them. If you wash them right away, stuff comes off easy. You just, it's done. But if you leave them, then you need tools to get stuff off of the dishes. I had never smelt things like that. I had never had to use tools like that. I was on my knees weeping before the Lord. Don't make me do another one, Lord Jesus. But afterwards, I never had this response either. So I went back and I was in there, like in the basement area where I was staying. They had like a downstairs area. And they came in, and the mom of my friend, the mom came downstairs, and I think I was standing somewhere, and she just kind of fell down on the ground. I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm like, this is weird Mormon activity. What is this? You know? She's like, you washed the dishes. Oh, I saw it. That was so wonderful. I was like, oh, okay. Get up. Please. She was so thankful. I was a light. I was able to minister to that person. But listen, we should clean up our own messes. That's part of being a good witness. You know, one of the things I learned as when I went into air conditioning and refrigeration in the military, one of the first things that they did, because we fix things, and sometimes oil leaks and you bring tools and all of that into a mechanical room. When you do that, you come in and you make a mess to fix something. It was oil and different things may spray. And he said, my supervisor, tech sergeant at the time, he said, you're never done with your job. You're never, ever done. When you come in here, you're never done with your job until you clean up after yourself. Then you're done with your job. If you pour stuff out to absorb oil, whatever it is, you're never done with it until you clean up after yourself. You pick up, then you go. I thought, okay, that makes sense. I duly noted that, and I understood that. So children are to be a help in the home, not a burden, because they add to the mess and the chaos of a home, but are of no value other than that, except for a little doll for us to have and hug and hold. And I love my children. What do? Nothing. I just love them. And then when they become teenagers, that child, by the time they're teenagers, I can't wait till they're out of the house. I hate them. And because they've not been disciplined, they're not helpful. They're not able to do anything. And then there's this clash. Everything's owed to me. That's not what we should be doing to our children. They should learn how to be productive, and it begins in the home. So children are not a burden, but a delight. Now they learn this by parents teaching them this and modeling it. Modeling it and teaching them this. This is what we call discipleship. Discipleship begins in the home, with practical things. There's a scripture that we train up your child in the way he should go, when he's old, not depart from it. Well, we automatically train your child up in the scriptures. That's what we read. Train him up in the spiritual things. No, in the way he should go. That includes the responsibilities of a home. And then when they're older, it'll make sense. They'll get it. Because when they're growing up, they don't get it. It's not until they have their own children. It's not until they have their own home. It's not until they have their own stuff before they go, oh, I see. And they won't depart from it. At first, it's hard. It's an investment. It is hard. It's not easy. The first 5 years of a child's life, they say, are the most impressionable. It's where you need to do the most due diligence, is the first 5 years. Sadly, in our culture, the first 5 years of our children's life are in someone else's hands, under their guidelines, under their moral standings, trained under someone else. When those are the times when we should be pulling back and really investing in them. It's a ministry. It's full time. There's too much at stake. But then they grow up. At first, they have a hard time picking up their toys. They have one toy, and they still can't pick it up. It's in the middle of the floor. Would you put your toy away? But we get them more and more toys. Scripture says, to whom much is faithful, you know, or to whom much is given, much more will be required, right? So there's a principle they can learn. Child, if you can't keep one toy clean, why am I going to give you much more? They're all going to be all over the place. So they learn. If you want multiple things, if you want multiple items to manage, manage the ones you have. But we don't teach them those lessons at a young age. We don't teach them those things so that as they grow up, they can be a help and a delight. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Instead, we have our culture, doing it our way, mind you, where we have a group, a culture of people who can't wait. And I'll tell you, even I've heard even pastors and their wives, and I hate it. I think it's anti-biblical. I think it's wrong that parents would say of their children, I can't wait till they're out of the house, with that kind of an attitude. I think that's unbiblical. It should be a great loss. I'm going to miss you. Some of the mess will be gone, but some of the help will be gone. I heard the story of a woman that I had talked to recently, and her boys were great boys. They're all grown up now, out of the home with their own families. And she says, you know what? I'm doing all the stuff now that they used to help me do. The lawn and other things. They were such good helpers. I miss them. Not just for their work. She missed them. I said, that's how you ought to miss them. Not just for company or someone to yell at, but because they were part of your family, contributing part of the family. And that requires discipleship. And you know why it's so important? Because one day they're going to have a home of their own. And I believe they should be missed. Now, all of this falls into another bigger pot here to help in the home, but also the role of children is to honor the Lord. We teach them to do these things so that they honor the Lord. They're not ashamed. You don't have to hide everything because it's embarrassing. You know, that, man, if you grow up and you have your own home, think about this. If your child had their own home and it looked like their room, would you be proud of that? Don't say, well, it's their space. Their space is going to turn into their house. And that's what's going to be their legacy. They learn from mom and dad. So teaching them these things. I know, right? I'm spending a lot of time on a clean house. Our house is not perfect. We have kids and it's a battle. It's work. But it's part of the job. It's part of having children and teaching them things you ought to do. And you know, most of the time I find that my kids' failures are my failure. I haven't done something with enough consistency, or I haven't done something the way God says I should do it. I'm the leader. I'm the example. When I find them failing a lot, I find that it's often my... It could be something as simple as I'm not consistent enough. Yeah, I say the right things. On occasion, I model the right things, but I'm not consistent enough for them to develop a permanent habit. And that's my failure too. It's work.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned something new from Pastor Troy's study in the book of Ephesians and that your faith has been strengthened along the way. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. You'll also find our podcast on iTunes. And when you subscribe, you'll have updated messages as soon as they're available. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Pastor Troy will have much more to share next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow.